Hi, and welcome to our Dog Industry Podcast, season number 5. Here's your podcast about creative documentary and animated film industry. It's in collaboration with our dear friends, the Programmers of Color Collective and What's Up With Dogs. A big shout out to our partners, supporters, and contributors. Check them out. And hey, it's good to have you here. Enjoy your conversation. Here is Dog Industry Podcast, season number 5.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm so excited to see you all. I feel like it's been ages since we've been together. This is going to be a podcast that takes a little bit of a walk down memory lane and looks at, I suppose, the setup and the beginning of East Africa's first independent film fund called DocuBox, all the way back in 2012. And because I, Judy Kibinge, who set it up then, can't quite remember like all the details of it, I've invited some friends, some founding friends, founding filmmakers to help me take that walk down memory lane and to try and recall what, you know, what it was like to set up a film fund 11 years ago. And so I'm going to ask my friends and guests on this podcast to introduce themselves. Yes, we have Maya Leko, we have Tony Kamau, and we have Zippy Kimundu, all amazing filmmakers who have been on this DocuBox East African Film Fund journey with us all these years. And so, yeah, who's going to start by just introducing themselves?
Yeah, I don't mind jumping in. Hi, Judy. Really excited to be on this podcast with ground zero filmmakers when we knew nothing about independent documentary filmmaking. My name is Tony Kamau. I'm a Kenyan-based creative producer, filmmaker, and writer, and founder of the production company We Are Not the Machine. Just released a film called The Battle for Laikipia, which is going to also be at Doc Leipzig, FYI. Yes.
So and has just opened up in 40 cinemas across the UK. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, super excited. Yeah, so happy to be here.
Okay, and Maya.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Maya Leko, and Judy, it's like such a pleasure to be here with all of these wonderful women that we've known for now, as you say, more than 11 years. And I am also director, co-director, co-producer with my wonderful husband who couldn't be here today, and have a company based in Nairobi called Circle and Square Productions. And we also have two films at the moment now in post-production. I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel for one. And yeah, really lovely to be here.
And Zippy.
Hey, I'm Zippy Kimundu. Yeah, Kenyan filmmaker. I run a production company called Afro Films International, and I do wear a lot of hats also, but that's for another day. And I am I finished a film called Our Land, Our Freedom, which premiered at IFFA, and it's been a year of travel to festivals. And I have one film in post-production and another one in development.
Whoa, guys, you know, it's so, I can't explain it. It's so monumental to just even hear these introductions, because when I look back to just meeting, you know, to meeting you, and I think I'd met you all in different ways, very briefly. Maybe I hadn't met you, Zippy, 11 years ago, but in the past decade, I feel you've actually almost become like my family in many ways, my film family, but also really close friends because of the depth of the journey that we've had. And maybe for the benefit of the podcast, I'm going to just give a little recap on some real basics on what it was like to set up DocuBox. And then hopefully, you know, you guys will jump in and take the bulk of this ride and conversation forward together. So all the way back in 2010, when the idea of this fund was floated actually by Joyce Nairo, who at the time was working at the Ford Foundation, I was, you know, filmmaker, deeply immersed in fiction filmmaking, a little bit of doc filmmaking, and the thought of setting up a fund was absolutely terrifying. I'd never been to a documentary film market. I didn't know how film funds were raised, and I wasn't even sure exactly what a film fund was. And so in many ways, you know, you begin to understand why I really need you guys to help all our listeners really understand what the journey to set this up was like, because in many ways, I feel like we were the blind leading the blind. East Africa hadn't, and I think the region hadn't had an independent film fund, let alone a documentary one. And so, we had a period of research in 2010, 2011. In 2011, I landed at IDFA with a little card that said the Documentary Film Fund Initiative for East Africa, and was perplexed to see how money was being raised, was amazed, and was certain that we needed something similar in East Africa. Enter our first call. We were a little office, three people, Jackie Malia, administrator. We had a board in place, a great board in place, John Akomfra, Anjali Naya, Caroline Bindio, and Hans Boscher. But we still didn't quite know what it was going to be like when we did our first call. And when we invited some, what we thought were the best and most open and most interesting filmmakers to come and apply. And you guys came forward. And I just want to ask you what you remember of that very first hearing about DocuBox. Yeah, applying for it, that very first film workshop. Maya, I remember you somehow, you and Chris, coming to the samosa, the tea and samosa launch that we had. Maybe you could kick us off.
I mean, I think, yeah, it feels like such a long time ago, but also so clear in my memory because it was really such a transformational time in terms of being, as you say, Judy, like being introduced to documentaries and the world of documentaries and how it works. And I remember Chris telling me, because we actually, I think, saw an advert or something on Instagram or socials that there was this film fund. And I was like, there's a documentary film fund, as in like it's a Kenyan film fund for Kenyan filmmakers. And at that stage, like for me, it was really early in my film career. And I'd never been in documentaries, but we were like, why don't we just try and apply and see what it's all about? And I think through that application, and then just being introduced to you, Judy, to the rest of, Tony, Zippy, to the rest of the crew at the time, the family, I'd say, was so eye-opening on so many levels. And I think one, and maybe now I'm skipping ahead too far, but I think one was really just like, gosh, there's a place where there's all these amazing documentary filmmakers, or maybe early documentary filmmakers, and we're able to then have these discussions and talk openly about our projects. And because I feel like all of us were kind of working in silos in all our different creative fields. And I think that really 100% had to do with you, because you're just this wonderful soul that just, it's like, yes, welcome everyone and come and share. And it was just like a really beautiful spirit. And that whole like masterclass and the workshops, it for us, it was like totally revolutionary, because we learned all of our grounding in documentary and how to go about things from that first cohort.
Well, Tony, I wonder if you can recall what what the film environment was like. You'd come from MoFOS, which is a really amazing film school with really good small collaborative years of filmmakers being trained up. So I feel like you'd already come from a school of thought where you were already collaborating. So maybe you could just help us understand what the documentary film environment was like way back in 2013, or if there was one.
Yeah, okay. Now, when you talk about 2013, people know my age because I've been lying to so listen, I'll keep it out of the bag. So I would say that, I mean, it's interesting. In 2013, back then, we had a company with Sonia Maingi, Christine Kinyanjui, On Screen Productions. And we used to do a lot of, production for Zuku, local channels, TV shows. And we did something called service production, which was for foreign crews. And we even fixed, we so service production or fixing is, getting the logistics, getting the permits, getting the characters. In fact, sometimes we were doing some producing, if I may say so myself, some co-producing. And then 3 years later, you hear it's in a place called Sundance, or it's at a hot dogs place, or it's at a Itfa, and you have no idea what those things are. And I think for us, we always imagined that that was something that white Western-based people went to, that that was not a space for us as African-based filmmakers. Our role was to just do fixing the permits, the casting, safety plans, and not really to be involved in, the post-production, not to have a voice in terms of what stories are being told about our region. So honestly, when I went for that first meeting, my mind was blown. I felt like I had joined, like I'd gotten to the next level, like in the Matrix, like where everything is a lie. So I think it was really mind-opening. It was amazing to be part of that space, with you, with Mudamba, with, Maya, Zippy, just and the wonderful people who volunteer their time, Ika. I remember there were South African producers, just explaining there's this whole new world where there was a lot of creative control, there was a lot of financial and administrative control that could be available to us as African-based filmmakers.
Actually, Tony, you reminded me of something. And just before we moved to Zippy, you were actually in the real, sorry guys to say, but there was a real, 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 real test first cohort. Because before we officially kind of launched DocuBox, we'd done a little test group with Ika Vekelati, who was going to be in Nairobi to recce an idea that we were later going to embark on. And he came with Brian, who worked at Steps. And we had a small collaborative group of filmmakers just sharing initial ideas. There was no funding attached to that. It was really, I think even just for me, who'd never been through a process like that, I was really curious to understand what did it feel like if I or any of us were in a room where we were able to just sit together and just share our ideas with a couple of people or mentors or call them what you will, but people who understood the doorway, the path, how to get to these Sundances or IDFAs or could just advise us of on what it is we needed to do to take our stories forward. So yeah, that was like the pre DocuBox very first gathering that we had. Zippy, I'm gonna jump to you, and as I do, I'm just gonna also describe the setup that we had attempted to put together or had put together in 2013. So we had registered this film fund. We had some funding in the bank. Actually, it was three, I think, $380,000, more money than I'd ever heard of in my life. That was supposed to see us through for the next 3 years. Little did I know that that wasn't as much as I imagined it would be. But we had really purposed to look for a compound that had workshop space so that we could have our one little office. We had a one-room office. But in that Catholic compound, Shalom House, we had two or three additional workshop rooms. We had Shalom House also has something like 30 guest rooms that we can let out and people can actually rent and stay with when we have labs. So Zippy, maybe you could with all this in mind, and now that Tony's told us about the pre-lab that we had, by the time you came, Mudamba, our amazing first program director, was on board, and he was really in many ways the soul of many of those very early workshops. Just explain, Zippy, how you, who had I think been studying documentary in Singapore, had already made a few things. Why did you, how did you hear about DocuBox, and what was your experience of that first lab?
I mean, thank you. I mean, just listening to everyone, my mind is racing so much because I think at that point, oh my gosh, we came, we were so green. I had just come from film school. I went to NYU. I was studying fiction the whole time, but I had been editing documentary like for a long time. So I came from editing, but it was not creative documentary. So when I think the call, I saw the advert. We had met, never met Judy, but I think I'd met Tony. I'm not sure. Yeah. So I had never, because I'd been away for so long, I had not met many people. So I was, when I came back, I was trying to do television, and it was just like, it was such a tough space. And then like everything was just so tough. And then I remember when I, we were called, we came for the first workshop. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is such a different space. Everyone was just like so good to each other. Like I had been so used to, kind of everyone trying to take up space. But this was like, I just really remember like everyone just being really open and sharing and had lots of fun and a lot of learning. And I re one thing that I remember, the first organizing that you took us to IDFA, like all of us, and we had no idea what we were doing, but we were just like, Judy, how did you even think of that? Like we were just like a group of like green documentary
Green
filmmakers.
ones.
And you, yeah, and like maybe fixing us to go meet here and here. And I remember for me, like, just that process laid down the foundation for me, even the film I was trying to do at that time, it was like what to do, what not to do. And I feel like that has been like the really, really strong basis of my documentary filmmaking career, and which kind of has, led me to a lot of connections and people. But just having DocuBox there, as everyone says, was, a space we could come and cry to each other and like vent and share. I am so glad that I was part of this family, the first cohort, and continue like Judy just giving us and allowing us to come use the space for other things. I'm always just like, have an interview, can I come to DocuBox? And then like, yeah. So it for me, I think everywhere I talk, I say yes. I mean, we are always competing with all the big fans, right? But then now we have a basis. We're like, at least we have our own first. Before it was really hard. Like if you don't have a first seed, then it's really hard to take off. So I feel like DocuBox kind of gave us that space.
It's so interesting hearing just again, just hearing you guys speak, and also all these little memories being jogged. I think over the last few years, I've had so many people. I was talking to a group of filmmakers recently from India, and they were just like, "Wait, how have you guys in Kenya, in East Africa, done it? You know, how is it that there's so many documentaries beginning to come out?" And I think the only thing that I can, and I've actually had that inquiry from lots of different people from lots of different countries, just curious about how a film community can be begun or built. Like, where exactly does it start? Where, and I know this sounds like a really obvious question, but I don't know, how would you guys respond if you were asked that question? Because I feel it's not, yes, DocuBox is the kind of, maybe in a way, beginning, but it had, I feel like the actual community had so much to do with the ways in which the first cohort especially embraced and opened up to the idea of sharing with each other, supporting each other. I don't know, if you got asked that question, how would you reply it, Maya?
It's actually, it feels like such a simple question, but also such a complex question at the same time. I mean, for me anyway, and not really knowing much about the film documentary space that existed before, probably yourself and Tony can speak more to that, but I feel like, I'd never watched documentary, I don't think, or a creative documentary. I didn't even know what that was. So for me, I was really coming in green to that first cohort and understanding everything from scratch. And really and truly, like, I think it's obviously got to do a lot with community, but and things that have happened previously, but for me, Judy, like everything was in that workshop. And I know that I might not be answering your question fully, but I feel like everything begun in that workshop. And I think then this amazing kind of successful Kenyan, like now documentary, and there's several of us now, I'd say there's being like showcasing their stuff on world-class stages and with high quality and amazing stories told by Africans. I feel like for me, that had so much to do with the initiation of DocuBox and the fund. And yeah, I don't know if that answers anything, but
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it does. It does. I don't know. Zippy, can I throw it to you? What do you think?
I really think the same. I feel like, I think this really grounded us and then gave us confidence that we could actually do it. And then people started trusting co-productions. So a lot of people started saying, okay, I have this story. Then there was a framework. We knew kind of what to do. So I feel like, yeah, it was because of DocuBox that was set up, because we could all come share, exchange ideas, and we had the what, you know, we had the skills, and yeah, I feel like this was the basis. Because before that, there was not much, as we say, like creative documentary. Even the stuff that I was cutting stuff for television, but which is a very different format. So this, yeah. And it's the first time we really started watching. Like you started kind of doing a lot of screenings and seeing documentaries. Yeah, I feel like this was what really kind of opened it up.
You mentioned Zippy something interesting. Actually, I think you said we all went to IDFA. We actually all went to Sheffield. And I just want to throw this one to Tony, because Tony, what do you remember of that trip? What I seem to recall is we had our very first lab together. There were 12. Actually, for the benefit of the listeners, this was the format of the way we did our very first funding. And I think in many ways, being a filmmaker myself, I was really list, I guess, trying to listen to what I felt we all needed and trying to create something that also I would need. And I felt that I would need an early little grant, $2,500 to explore my characters, because all these big funds, I had kind of learned a bit how they all want you to have shot something. I'm like, shoot something, how? Where do I begin? So I felt like we needed a little bit of a workshop and a little bit of money to go off and explore our first characters. And then we needed to come back. And with whatever we'd shot, and only six would get that first amount of funding. That did end up, with everyone really putting quite amazing bits of work together, but it also ended up being quite painful, because I felt that as a group of 12 different filmmakers, with actually more, because some people were paired with amazing stories, then only six were able to go forward with this additional 20K funding. But the bulk of us, almost all of us, went off to Sheffield together. And my memory of Sheffield, and we kind of funded it in a different, DocuBox put a little bit of money into everybody's ticket, Kenya Film Commission put a little bit of money into everyone's ticket, and then everybody had to raise a little bit of money themselves to come on this trip. And I don't know, can who I remember a feeling of a bit of panic when we arrived. This group of like Kenyans on force, but none of us who had actually been to a market or festival before. And like I say, when I say the blind leading the blind, I remember very clearly at some point following Tony around, on a couple of thinking, how is she just approaching all these scary commissioners and just. Like, I'm the one who was supposed to be brave. I was terrified. I mean, Tony, where did you, what? Please just remind us about what this very, and because so many of us have now over the decade, we becoming like, I won't say pros, but yes, pros. I think we're not fazed by markets. We're not intimidated by commissioners. We realize that our work is needed, and these. We shouldn't have to feel like we have to put on armory before approaching a commissioner. But do you guys remember what that felt like to be this big group of East Africans just landing like on the moon? It felt like.
Oh gosh. So I think, first of all, I just wanted to comment a little bit on the previous question. From listening to talking about like needing seed money to be able to put initial material together for development, and needing to have support to travel, you understood that because you're a filmmaker. Yeah, and I think part of the reason for one of the biggest reasons for DocuBox's success and continued success is that it's filmmaker founded, and there's a lot of empathy for the experience of what it means to be an African, filmmaker with limited resources. Kenya Film Commission is stepping up, but at that time, DocuBox was one of the few places you could go to as a filmmaker to really find the community and to find people who understood what you were going through. Because sometimes these NGOs would be like, so you just go, So just comment on that. That I think that that's That for me, that's really, really important. And your board also had a lot of filmmakers, in as much as it had to change over time. So I think that informed, the ethos of the organization. I mean, Sheffield was interesting. Going to a market, I think seeing the big pitches. I'm not sure if I went to IDFA before Sheffield, though. I think we ended up going to IDFA before Sheffield because we applied for the IDFA grant. So I think I had actually had a chance to go to a previous festival. I'm not sure. But I remember what I loved about Sheffield is that we were just a bunch of Kenyans who are all on the same experience, sharing rooms, entering parties together. And I think that force, but that force is what protects you, That force, that sense of community that you're in this together, you have a base, you can go and talk to someone, then you have safety with Kenyans who understand you and understand what you're going through. You're all trying to figure out the transport system together. You're all trying to navigate the system together. So I feel like that sense of community was really important for us going there together and also being blind together. Sometimes it's good for the blind to lead the blind because you're also a bit more fearless. You don't know that, you don't know that the lion is around the corner. So I think that was helpful that we had that, and you allowed us to explore. And I think we kept on asking each other, questions. How do you do this? How do you do that? And now, I mean, how many of us have pitched at huge markets, IDFA, Hot Dogs Forum? I think there were people pitching at Sunnyside, Eric Mwangi, the newer generation. So I think it's exciting that, the first hunt, I don't know, hunter gatherers went forth into Sheffield and, I mean, bravely spoke to people. In fact, I miss that fearlessness a little bit sometimes.
Do
I
you feel
miss
there was
it.
more fearlessness there then than now?
Yes, I feel like there was more fearlessness. I think,
Really?
like now that you kind of know how systems work, and also now that the documentary world is going through a huge shift, and you understand that there are a lot of systemic issues that need to be changed, in terms of how films are funded, in terms of how films are made, and which is why DocuBox needs to continue to thrive. Yeah, I think I have more fear. I know how to mitigate it, but back then I was fearless. I was a lot more fearless. Personally speaking, yeah.
Wow. Zippy, what would you say, just having off the back of having finished an incredible film that I think took you and Mina 7 years
Eight
to
years to
make?
finish.
8 years to make. Oh my God. In those early days, I don't know why, I was just sure like we definitely have like within 2.5 years max of DocuBox, I was like, we'll have at least three features finished. How do you know what yeah what would you say to Tony's observations, Zippy, especially just having come off the back of such an incredibly long journey and such a long tour with your new film? Like, do you what's your sense of the world, because you've been out a lot with it, and you have a new film that you're in the kitchen cooking even as you're on your travels with your film that I still keep feeling like calling Testament, sorry.
I will keep calling it Testament, our land, our freedom.
Land of freedom, yes.
I mean, just listening to Tony, I don't believe that she has fear right now because I see her, kind of in spaces. But I think maybe because we know we are more targeted, we know where to go, when and how, and also like I think what has really helped was, with that foundation, we were able to start meeting those commissioning editors and starting to know them. So they became a human being. I think that for me, the fear was always just like, oh my gosh, all these people, like, and there were just a bunch of them. And then I think as you continue to travel, within the festivals, within the markets, you start meeting them and you start knowing them. And I think the more they know you, then there's this like, personal relationships that you feel comfortable to go. So it doesn't feel like pitching. So maybe that's what Tony's referring to. But you're like, once you know the people, it's kind of easier. But also because I guess you have a kind of a name to keep. You don't want to just go pitching any idea. You're very. We have to be very, very careful and go only when our films feel a bit ready to be seen. And I think that's growth, you know. Yeah, and I think maybe that's what the fear that Tony's talking about. But like, I think, yeah. So I think with, I mean, having pitched in like, the big bucks, big festivals, it's been, of course, I'm always really scared. Like, I'm always also just like the pitching thing, put on this brave face, and of course, pitching is not easy. But I think what helps is that now we know how to navigate. And to put our stories forward and how the language, I think therefore also that's a huge thing with us kind of making these films. We've been able to kind of figure out the language and how to approach, different people in different ways, knowing how to do different things at the same time. So because they're like, okay, you have a, like also Maya is like, you have two films in post-production. Everyone's like, when do you guys ever sleep? Yeah, so yeah, so I, yeah, so I feel like this foundation and what you're saying about like the, just like a lot of Kenyan films, like it feels good. You go to a festival, you're like, oh yeah, you Kenyans, you're making a lot of, like it feels really nice actually to for people now to we are on the map of documentary where we didn't exist before. Yeah.
I
Can I
feel,
just add, Judy, can I just add one thing to,
yes,
just
please.
quickly to what both Tony and Zippy and your question about Sheffield, because I just remember one thing that was just so hilarious. Because as you say, like where these guys, hunter-gatherers, as Tony puts it, come forth to this Sheffield, there's just a lot of people, a lot of European people, and we're just like checking in. And I just remember like it was so sweet because all of us like we had this like fearlessness, but at the same time, this kind of caution. But then you'd have someone be like Jackie Lebo or whoever be like, yeah, go and speak to that's that person. Go and speak to that person. And then like in typical like amateurness, you'd go and you'd be like, hi, my name is Maya. I'm from Kenya and I have the letter. And this is da, 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 da. And of course, that's the last thing that guys want, it's just like to be pitched at. So I just remember that so clearly. And then after that whole process, just understanding, okay, like this is not the way to like to introduce yourself to these guys who obviously have like 100 people pitching at them all in one go. So anyway, so I just wanted to add that because I just remember it would be like we'd be sitting in these circles and I'd be like, oh yeah, the guy. Oh yeah, that's that person. Okay, let's go. One person would go, like, Anyway, so I just wanted to add that because I remember that really, really vividly.
Me too. Me too. And I remember also this feeling of, oh my God, I now need to look for more funding and I need to know all these people at once, And same thing, just being able to spot people and either Tony or yourself or Philippa, would point at somebody and you just kind of just go and jump on them. And I think sometimes I've heard even for something like door-to-door salesman, apparently it's a good thing to have to do that a few times because you get over your fear of approaching. But I'm interested also in I suppose where everybody is right now because here we are. We've talked about, I remember so clearly, Maya, just meeting you and you and Chris, you've done so many music videos. You had, I think you had scored, had you done Wanuri's score for,
I mean,
no, there's
I
some
had just contributed one
bit of
song at
edit.
that stage.
One song. But
And
you're
Chris
so
edited
well
it.
known. You're so well known as a musician, a stage amazing performer, stage performer, acoustic guitarist. Look at your face. She's like, oh, me? Yes, you. It's fascinating to me how you've kind of managed to find each, like how everyone has found their own rhythm and their own styles, because you approach with a story 10, 11 years ago that was a musical documentary, because obviously you both had such a deep interest in music. And it transformed into the letter, a very different kind of film. But you still managed to work your musical talent into it, doing the score and so on. And right now, here you are balancing not just that one baby, you now have two real babies, two real children, and two films in post. Just tell us, and I'd like to know just a little bit about what is it that you'd like listeners to know about where you are and what we are soon going to expect to see from you.
Okay, well, I think for me, I think it's been great because I think coming from kind of quite a warped musical space, and I'll move quickly into documentary spaces, I'm like, gosh, why didn't I know about this before? Because actually, I love being behind the camera and I love like probing into questions and getting deep into stories. And for me, that's been, yeah, I mean, if I had to choose between the two now, I'd definitely be like, yes, I'm a documentarian and then I'm a musician. But yeah, these two films, we also, like, as we all know, in documentaries, it takes us 7, 8, sometimes more than 10 years to make. And How to Build a Library, we're hoping to release early next year. And that's just been an incredible, like, following these two women who are trying to transform this colonial library in downtown Nairobi, and what they come up against. And I kind of overall, I feel like it's this blueprint of how we deal with, first of all, government, how we deal with colonialism, how we deal with our past, the history's happened, how are we now taking that into the future. And it's been really fascinating kind of going through those stages. Also for me, like, and I'm sure for hopefully everyone who watches the film, like Nairobians who we have all of these things in our minds, we're kind of all essentially like from this. Anyway, I don't want to go too deep into it. But and then the other one is about this young lady who was running for governor in Lamu, and I feel for myself is like, how do we choose stories that we know so intimately, in the sense that for me, like all of the films that we've made are somehow related to where my heritage is from, so the first one being in Kilifi County, which is on the coast of Kenya. Nairobi obviously is home, and that's why we're making How to Build a Library. And then the Lamu one also has got, some family of mine. I don't know, I just feel I feel truly blessed to be able to share these stories. And not only share these stories, figure out then how kind of like you can have impact and things that then really create discussion and dialogue. And obviously both for Tony and Zippy right now and the films that you both have, I'm just so intrigued to see how all those conversations are taking place. And I think for me, that's the most important. But I am also finding it harder to, as Tony says, is that the documentary space is also becoming a little bit more difficult to navigate, in terms of funding and stuff like that. And it's always at this stage when you're at post-production, it's like I forget that this is the hardest place to now raise money, because this is when you have to raise the most money actually out of any other section, because it's easy for all of us to just take a camera, go and do this and this. But now, how do we make it as great as we can? But I'm finding that, you're applying to like several grants and the grants are not coming and you're like, oh my God. And then you're starting to like question yourself as a filmmaker. So yeah, it's everything all in the one bottle.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. But it's a good place that you're at. It's true, though. I keep being this, post-production comes and it's almost how women talk about childbirth. How when you're having, then you're like, oh my God, why did I do this again? How did I forget? How painful it all was. But then you produce something just absolutely beautiful. Now, Zippy and Tony, I'm just so proud. First of all, I'm so excited that NBO Film Festival is back, our own local amazing festival. Sheba, Hurst, Mbithi, whoop whoop to both of you for bringing it back. That's not easy to ha keep a good festival going. But whoa, you guys, one film is opening the festival, Tony, the other one is closing the festival. Like, NBO is bookended by two great Kenyan docs. Very, very excited about this. So maybe you could just circle to Zippy and ask you just where, what's happening in your life since, since we got together 12 years ago. And I'd really like it if you could just tell us a little bit about the community that you are building, because we all really want to be a part of it, and that's up in Kilifi. It's absolutely amazing. It feels like our next community artistic building 3.0 reloaded. So just tell us a little bit about the films that the film you've not just the film you've completed, not just the one that you have on the road, but also this incredible space that I think is going to bring artistic talent and bring us together in really deep and transformative ways.
Good. Okay. My gosh. Yeah. My heart just started racing so fast because I'm like, I've got so many things to say. So anyway, I'll keep it simple.
You're like, oh my God, I have so much going on.
Where
Why
should
am
I
I doing all
start?
these things at once?
Yeah. But just about us preparing an MBO, like I'm really, really happy that we were able to do that. And I remember Sheba like looking at the films and she was like, hey, you people like documentary. And I was like, where are the fiction films? And I just said, like, I'm like, sorry. So I mean, yeah. So my director and I, Mina, we've been on the road with this film for so long, and we are like really excited to be able to screen it at home. Yes, with all that we are bringing, like 50 Mau Mau elders to the screening, so we are really, really excited to see. They've already watched the film, so yeah, we are really
Oh.
excited to show it in Kenya, and also we'll have a theatrical run after the festival. So we hope
Fantastic.
everyone watches it. Yes. And then I am in a post-production for another film called Widow Champion. And I'm working this with Heather Courtney. I mean, like, I think finding the right partners has just been the most amazing thing, because we're in post-production now. The relationships we made from our first film, we have Jordana Berg still editing our film, and like, amazing, interesting from the musicians who come to our residency in Kilifi, Winyo
Wow.
and Polycarp from Sauti Sol. They said they wanted to create music for the film, so that's really exciting.
Oh my God.
So
It's
yeah,
wonderful.
and I feel like I'm really excited that the one thing feeds the other, because when I started, I started this arts residency in Kilifi about 6 years ago, and like really inspired by the community that you built here, Judy. Like, I feel like, I just felt like people needed a space out of Nairobi, and we have amazing musicians coming to make their music there. A lot of editors coming, a lot of writers. So it's just a space that people kind of come to just go away. It's in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, so it gives it feeds you know it
It's
feeds it,
wonderful.
yeah it feeds yeah so that also will be out. So Widow Champion will be should be out early next year. We're just finishing. And then this other film, there once been kind of start and stop, White Doctor. It's about the American missionary who is alleged to have been in Uganda, and a lot of children died in her care. But then, what was exciting is that I like telling stories about people I've met, not I've seen in the news. And I made sure that I went to, North Carolina and met her. So I really hope that that goes well. I think that's really
Wow.
my madness
Wow.
playing.
No, it's just wonderful. And I don't want to make the rest of the world that's listening to this podcast have FOMO, because if I was to describe what the land and the space that you found and what you're building in Kilifi, I think there'd be a land rush. People would just rush over to Kenya from everywhere to try, it's beautiful. You found this real oasis overlooking this incredible creek on the coast of Kenya. And I can't wait for DocuBox. We've tried, we tried to collaborate once on something. It didn't quite work out, but I can't wait to do lots and lots of things with your residency. Yeah, thank you for creating
Thank
it.
you,
And
Renee. Thank you.
Tony.
So just yes, everyone should really follow up on Zippy's, thing in Kilifi. Pete and I, the co-director for Battle for Laikipia, bought land near
There
there.
you
And
go.
yeah, and it's such a beautiful space, and it's so inspiring to see what Zippy's, creating there. So really
I love
excited.
it.
Really, really excited. And I would say, like, since 2013, there's been so many amazing projects I've been grateful to work on. There was I Am Samuel, a queer documentary, which we worked on with Pete, premiered at Hot Docs, got banned in Kenya, but we combated our fear around that because I believe fear is really important. I think if you lose
Yeah.
fear, it doesn't make you plan, to mitigate whatever risks they are that may exist. So I truly believe in embracing fear and understanding what you're specifically afraid of, and then creating strategies around that. And I think that was so amazing. We found another collaborator, Sam Soko, who directed Soft Tea and produced it, through DocuBox. And that premiered at Sundance, which was amazing and had, an amazing theatrical run. We tried to do an Oscar campaign with that, and we didn't succeed, but at least now we know what it looks like. And now, the battle for Laikipia again, working with Pete again as a collaborator, Sam Soko, it's his first, feature editing credit, and he won an award at in
Wow.
Brazil at Film Ambiente for editing it. And we he co-direct Pete co-directed that with Daphne, and we met Daphne through Roger Ross Williams, who sits on the board for DocuBox. So it's I think it's just nice that there's this community that's revolving around that. And we've had such an incredible run with the Battle for Laikipia, which we're really excited about. We're crafting our impact campaign and just can't wait to share it with Kenyans. I would say what I'm working on right now, again, I've met a lot of my future collaborators through DocuBox. Working on a true crime series with Mark Hofland and Juan Reyna. Met Mark through you as well. And it's a four-part true crime series, investigating a cold case that took place 20 years ago and the aftermath on the family and the community around them. And that's a co-production, which was difficult is challenging to navigate, but we have four European broadcasters on board and we're building our finance plan. Would never have thought it possible to have done that, 10 years ago. And another project that's in development, so that's in late production. Another project that's in development is focusing on an Indigenous-led conservancy and their ambitious visions for the future, which I'm working on with Yuval Orr, who came and taught at DocuBox, and Eric Mwangi, who pitched another project at Sunnyside. So I think, yeah, I'm excited about the future. I think we have to figure out innovative ways to fund projects. We have to figure out ways for our stories to get told, and also just to make sure that the voices of the people who live in the community where stories are being told are included. And I think for me, that's always the most important thing as both a creative producer, and even just as a Kenyan, nothing with us, nothing about us without us. And I'm really excited to be part of the DocuBox journey.
Wow, guys, it makes me feel like we have to have a reunion. Yeah,
That's right.
really, really, really. But really, actually, even more than that, it just listening to everyone, it really emphasized the fact that when we talk about community, it's not about kumbaya, we're all sitting holding hands together. No, it's about this whole web of connections that goes way past any one of us. You meet someone and then you meet someone else, and because you met in a space of trust, you're able to each of us go on and do really incredible things. And so I'm just going to briefly touch on what I'm seeing as our next steps in DocuBox, or our next chapter in the journey. I'm so excited to be part of the Better Futures project in collaboration with the Doc Society, with Indocs, with Aflamuna, and with Ambulantis. So we're really embracing so much of the Global South within these five communities, and we're trying to raise $50 million so that we can have a pot. When you come from countries or regions like us, where stories become so dictated by the funds that you can raise, you really need your pots at home, to really be able to help artists and storytellers unleash the stories that they need to tell as independent filmmakers in this time when media feels in at times to be in a stranglehold. So that's one thing. We're trying to raise a pot so that we can all have a little bit more access to the finances we need to tell the stories that we need to. And we're also trying to build a physical space, which we're calling Keja, which we see as a much larger home, not just for filmmakers, but for different cornerstone building blocks. We see it as a place that has a mini hotel in it, a place that has cinema space and restaurant space in it, because we I completely believe, as I think all of us do, in what happens when people are able to cross-fertilize in beautiful spaces together. So those are the two things we're doing. And with that, I'm just going to do a quick whip round, as I say, a huge thanks to all of you for just any last thoughts or comments or things you want to say about our conversation or that we feel are important that the world should hear.
I just want to say, Judy, yeah, thank you so much to you and DocuBooks. And as Tony says, like, you have to continue. You have to keep going because DocuBooks, I think, for any generations that come, any younger filmmakers, it's such an important stepping stone. So no matter what, and obviously we're all in it together, and whatever we can do, but DocuBooks has to live on forever.
Forever and ever, no pressure, no pressure.
Forever and ever.
Yeah, no, happily, we have such a great team. So even as I'm starting to step back a little to get into filmmaking and, focus on these two larger projects, I think it will be around for a long, long time because we have a fabulous team. Yo, Ziffy.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say the same. I mean, it's just really great to have all these films. Like Judy doesn't talk about all the short films they do also, apart from the features. Like all these beautiful films coming out of DocuBox, both fiction, documentary, well, some with themes, some with not, just building the body of work around, the country. Like, so there's so many other films coming out and all very different, with very young filmmakers doing amazing things. So yeah, thank you. We need the space. We need this space to continue. And for us as, pioneers, we're always ready to jump in and mentor or even learn because we are learning ourselves every day. So like, I'm always going to Tony for something. I'm always like crying to you for that. So I'm always kind of wanting to, I always need an answer for something. And I feel like this is the space that you created for us. Thank you.
Thank you. We created it. We created it for us. Yeah.
So thank you. It's been such an amazing conversation. I would say that I'm just so inspired by how you've built DocuBox to be something bigger than yourself. And, with a team, they're young, they're energetic, they're visionary, they have the fearlessness of youth, which is really important to do
Amen.
ambitious things. And it's quite incredible to see like how this institution, has a life of its own. And quite excited to see what you do in your filmmaking journey when you go back. I would say that, yeah, DocuBox is quite important as an institution, for us to gather, in terms of like creating a physical space, in terms of, finding a space for collaboration, and also in terms of being our advocate. I would say Judy, you as an individual and DocuBox have been such amazing advocates for us as African filmmakers.
Thank
You
you.
speak, you guys speak our name. Even Susan, like from DocuBox or other people, they're like, oh, there's this grant. Oh, there's this thing. So I think it's amazing that you're our advocate. You speak our names, in rooms we might not have access to or be in. And it's
Yep.
important for you, for DocuBox to continue to, thrive because we need you to do that as DocuBox, not as Judy, because Judy needs to go back to making films.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
And thank you. Thank you. And thank you for this conversation. I think I'm excited definitely for my future filmmaking, but also because I feel we're so interconnected now. It's, we're always all going to be part of the DocuBox ecosystem because it's kind of our home. And so we're going to keep seeing each other. We're going to keep celebrating each other's work. And I just can't wait to see what the next 10 years is gonna look like for each and every one of us and all the different filmmakers that we've met and communed with along the way. All right, so I think that's all, folks.
Thanks.
Anna!
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.